So we've been teaching on cleansing your home, and tonight is actually the last night on that, and then we're going to be doing some stuff with Healing School, and then we're going to be back in with, I think maybe about 2 or 3 weeks, and then we'll come back in and kind of just switch over, and so you can just come and partake of all the good riches of the Lord that he has for us. Amen. Praise God, praise God. And I felt like the Lord gave me a word tonight, so I'm going to share that. I do want to welcome our young people from Zimbabwe. Yay! You know, we're really, really blessed because we get to impart what the Lord is doing here into them, and they can take that back, and it's like Africa, Zimbabwe, look out. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah, because there's some good stuff going on in the Roscoe, Rockford, southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois. I mean, we're taking territory, and you know, that's what I was thinking that the Lord was, but that's what the Lord kept saying to me, is that, you know, we are making a huge dent in the atmosphere in this territory. And it's been going on for a number of years, but it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger because we're taking back territory from our enemy. And I'm going to be talking to that a little bit because I'm going to be talking about land and territory tonight. But, you know, when in the Old Testament, when God sent Israel out to take land back, they also had to maintain that. You see, so we need to realize that we have to maintain ground that we take back from the enemy. Sometimes we just think we can take it, but you know, our enemy just doesn't always just sit back and let you hold on to it, okay? Adam and Eve had all of it, but they didn't maintain, did they? You see? So when we take back what rightfully belongs to us, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, just like I have said to you before, this country belongs to God, period. This country was established. It's one nation under Jesus Christ. And that's where it's going to stay. Because we're not going to give up our country. Amen. We're going to maintain in the spirit realm. And we're going to learn how to get stronger and stronger in the spirit realm so we can begin to take back what rightfully belongs to the Lord. That's what we're here for, is to take it back. It says that he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool. And I do want to put out just a little bit here tonight in the fact of, you know, I don't want anybody to ever, sometimes when you teach on deliverance, you could get a little bit afraid. But I always tell people, you know, we don't do crazy deliverance here. And a lot of people will come in and just say, you know what, you guys don't do deliverance like what we've known it. Well, the reason we don't do weird and chaotic, we will not wrestle the devil up front here ever. And I'll tell you why. Because he's been brought to nothing. He's been made a bold display of. He's been disarmed. And he's been triumphed over in the cross. So we are dealing with an enemy that's been defeated. And he is not in charge. We are. Same as when you go into your homes in your own personal life. You're in charge. And in Psalm 110, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Verse 2, it says, "The Lord will send forth from Zion," that's us, "he will send forth the scepter of his strength." Get an image of yourself with a scepter, which is an image of rulership. So he will send forth from the church the scepter, the authority, the right to rule of Jesus Christ, because he said, "of your strength." So when we rule, we are ruling in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in our own strength. You see, that's why we're forces to be reckoned with. And all you got to do is know that. And the youngest believer has as much authority as Jesus Christ. Yeah, I agree. Because what did he do with it? He gave it to us to use. Just like I have as much righteousness as Jesus Christ. He was made sin, he who knew no sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it cannot get any better than that. Jesus can't get any better than what we are, because he's imparted all of his goodness, all of his righteousness to us. You see? So we're all of one family, and it's not about how worthy you are. It's about how worthy he is. Get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on Jesus. That's who you're supposed to be looking at, and it's who you are in Christ. So it's not about you. It's about him, and he has made you to be the righteousness of God. Isn't that awesome? So the next time you have to deal with something, know who the devil's dealing with. You know, I've heard a pastor say that when the devil deals with them, it's like, you know, they look at him and they don't know if that's Jesus or is that Bev Tucker or is it Jesus or, because that's who I look like. You see? We're made in his image. Amen? So it says the Lord will send forth from the church, Zion, the scepter, the right to rule, the rulership of your strength. And then he commands us and he says, rule then in the midst of your enemies. Rule in the midst of your enemies. So that's a command from God to you, that you are to begin to rule in the midst of your enemies. In other words, dare to challenge ground and take it back. Take back what he stole from your families, from your finances. Start taking it back, because we have the right. Jesus has fully equipped us to do that. Amen. And you know, since we've been teaching on this, you know, taking cleansing your house, it's like demons are coming out of the woodwork, and I think it's funny, because it's like they're getting exposed, and the devil needs to be exposed. And see, we need to realize that our houses do not have to be full of garbage. They don't have to be full of, whether, you know, and you yourself need to make sure you don't let garbage into your house. But if there was garbage before and you're dealing with things in your home, you don't have to allow that to stay either. You have the authority to live in a peaceful house. It says, behold, Luke 10:19. He says, in other words, pay attention, look at this. I have given you authority, and I've given you power to trample upon serpents, scorpions. I have given you physical, mental strength, and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen? So you don't have to be afraid. Okay, and I know that there's some people here that have dealt with some things in their houses, and they've been afraid, and you don't have to be. You know, and we're going to talk a little bit tonight about how you can go in and deal with those. But I gave you a couple scriptures. I just actually quoted them, Colossians 2:15 and Hebrews 2:14, and that was simply that God has disarmed principalities and powers and rulers and made a bold display of them. He didn't make a little display. He made a big one, a bold display of him, triumphing over him in the cross. And brought him, Hebrews 2:14, it says that he took on flesh and blood that he might bring to naught, to make of no effect, I'm quoting you Amplified Bible, he who had the power of death, that is the devil. Okay, so when the church, Jesus is waiting for the church to know, rise up, know who she is, know that she's the righteousness of God, and begin to go out and start taking back and then maintaining, and we need to take our nation back, we need to take our families back, and begin to maintain what God has given us. And the one of the things that I love about deliverance is that we honestly, Lou, put this in my purse again, which I had to write myself a note, so, but I need that in my purse. Anyway, God is waiting for the church to begin to step in and take that. And one of the good things about deliverance is that once it begins in your house, once it begins in your family, you will literally shake and destroy the foundations of years of iniquity and generational things that the enemy is having. A lot of you have things going on in your lives and you wonder why, Lord, why does this go on? Why, you know, I'm serving you and yet all this stuff happens. Well, once you release deliverance into your house, you're going to begin to shake that foundation, because who's done it before you? You see? And so that's why there's so much iniquity that we deal with, is because nobody's done anything with it. And see, we've started doing some things with it. Our team has started doing some things with it, and we're seeing differences. We have truly, truly made a dent in the kingdom of darkness. I was going to look something up here in this book here, too, if I can still find it tonight, on destinies, if I can. I don't know if that was what I was looking at earlier. Apparently, designs. You know, God has a design or a destiny for each and every one of us, but the devil also does. You know, just like I said when a few weeks ago, that when this country was first formed and we had our very first president, erected a Masonic image on our in our Capitol. Okay, it was the Washington Monument, and it. If you look up what that actual symbol means, it's not a very good thing. But it was like the enemy stepped in. It's a very perverted thing. But here you have a country that people came here to serve God. God established this nation on his foundations. So this house has been built upon the rock, the United States, on the word of God, on the things of God. And the Bible says that if a house is built upon the rock, when the winds come and the storms come, it'll still stand, right? So we are standing in this nation. We're not losing our nation. But he erected the enemy, that Washington Monument, which is a Freemason symbol. And, you know, like I said, a couple years ago, there was a earthquake, and it shattered the foundation of it. Those are the prayers of the saints going up, and we are shattering the foundations of the enemy in this nation, because there's an aggressive body of believers being raised up in this nation, and we're militant, and we're going to start taking our nation back, and we're going to do it the right way, you see? So is the body of Christ a bunch of haters? Mm-mm. We don't hate people. We hate sin, but we have authority over that too. Amen? Let me read this to you, what a design means. A design is something conceived or planned out in the mind. It's a mental project or a scheme in which means to an end are laid down. A child may be born with traits of the opposite sex because a design was put upon him before he was ever born. The parent may have wanted a little girl, or if the child is a girl, perhaps the parents wanted a boy. And it goes on to say the parental design influences the behavior of the child. This can be turned. This can in turn open the child up to allow perverse spirits. A design can also be put on a person during rape, incest, molestation. The design can shape the character of an individual and is known as a physical design. A mental or a physic design can be placed upon a person through words, through concentration upon an individual in a lustful or perverse way. When praying for some people, it is sometimes necessary to break designs that have been placed upon them in order to cast out the spirits. Now, the reason I read that is there have been certain designs that have been put against people, but we have the authority to break those. So when you see certain patterns playing out in your family, and actually Joe was praying for his wife one day here not too long ago, and the Lord gave him the word fate. And the word fate is basically that same thing, a design that comes out of the generations to cause certain bends. It's almost like an iniquity in a life, you know, but we can break iniquitous patterns. You see? So if you have patterns and things, ask the Holy Spirit to begin to show you how to see and know what's going on. So you can go in and you can be very specific and begin to break designs. And you know, I think of a young couple that we've been ministering to and praying with who have had witchcraft come up through their generations in major, and it's not little witchcraft, it's huge, where you've got clairvoyancy in operation, you've got psychic abilities in operation, and they've recently become believers, and now they're wanting to get all this design broke off of them. Isn't that awesome? And you know, praise God, we have the authority to break off those designs. those patterns. So you need to know that you have the authority over any design that the enemy has endeavored to put into your life, whether it's sickness or disease or mental illness, financial, whatever it is. All you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, show me why this thing is bending this way, and you can begin to go in and start breaking it. Now, I daily prophesy to certain things. And the way that I prophesy to it, I say, you are out of this house in the name of Jesus. I look at some bloodline things that have tried to come up through our family, and I say, uh-uh. You want to know why I can do that? Because I have a covenant that backs me up. And boy, I tell you what, that covenant that's behind me, backing me up, I'll tell you what, hell can't touch it. So I'm in covenant. Therefore, when I will say to the devil, no, you aren't going to be in one of my kids. And this isn't going to operate in my house. And you might need to batter it a little bit, but Jesus has given you all authority over the enemy. You know, so he might throw some things at you, but be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. He's overcome every force of darkness. Okay, I'm going to get started on my lesson, and I'm going to try to stay to my notes because I've got a lot of material. Tonight, we're going to talk about going into various territories and taking back, not just cleansing the houses, but actually going into territories. And I've talked to you a little bit about the fact that there are certain areas, territorial, that if you're not called to go out into those regions, that's not where you belong going, okay? Because we can open up doors. We need to be wise in everything we do. And see, there's a tendency in the body of Christ that because we know that we have all power, all authority, that we have the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus. And like I said, when the devil looks at us, all he can see is Jesus. But we take and we misuse our authority. And we sometimes become very arrogant with our authority and think we can just go in like a bull in the china shop and just knock down anything we want to. And really, if you're not called to go into those places, that's not where you belong. And there's places literally in the Bible where, especially Paul, he was told by the Holy Spirit to not go into Macedonia. Had he done that, things would have not gone the way God wanted them to go for him. And he could have opened himself up. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we're going to also talk about the fact that if you are where in God's perfect will and in going in and taking territory, and like I say, when we pray for this nation, this is our nation, okay? But when we're sent by God and we're called by God, there is no force in hell that can even endeavor to take you on. You see, that's why when I go out and witness to people, this is how I like to share Jesus. And I've always done this. I've always done it from the very beginning of my walk with the Lord. Because I would go into my closet, actually my bedroom, but I'd go in and I would begin to intercede in the Spirit. I'd begin to pray in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit would tell me certain people to go visit, certain people to witness to. So I was being led by the Spirit when I'd go minister. And every single person that I would go to, I'd get saved. I'd never not, okay? Now, there are times that we have to throw the seed out, okay? But if you're throwing the seed of the Word of God out to people and you've been led by the Spirit of God to do it, they'll receive it. The Word won't go void, okay? So let the Holy Spirit lead you in what you do, and everything you do will be successful. We need to learn how to do that, don't we? To listen to him. Okay, but anyway, we've been talking about houses, then land. So I'm going to go into a couple things here. Some of the things that objects that do not bring glory to God. Now, I'm the kind of person that if you go to another country, I don't bring stuff back from other countries. Okay, there's too much witchcraft in too many other nations that you don't want to bring back their items. And I said this before, but Benny Hinn says that Americans bring all sorts of demons into this country because we go into all these other places and we bring back items that have been devoted to be cursed, and then we bring them back into our nation. And these things actually do attract demons. And so we just bring them and we bring them into our homes, and then you've opened up your home. Okay? So if you've got a lot of stuff from other countries and you've got stuff going on in your home that's not good, you may need to go home and cleanse your house and get that out. But these are objects that do not bring glory to God. Once we become aware of spiritual darkness, we can begin looking then in our homes to see what we own that does not bring glory to God. And that can be pretty massive nowadays. You could have videos, DVDs. I mean, you could have all sorts of things. Music, all sorts of different items that bring in the demonic. The devil is looking for avenues to come into our homes. And Christians, I hate to say this, and you know, this you might not like me saying it this way, but Christians are real stupid when they comes to bringing stuff in. We have the Holy Spirit. Let's discern. All right? Let's discern what's evil and what's good. And we shouldn't be calling evil good and think we can bring it into our homes, and because we're believers, it's going to be okay. When Jesus said, don't bring accursed items into your home. That's Joshua chapter 7. And there, it's all over in there too. That's just ones I like to use. But anyway, okay, some of the things would be like foreign gods. And this is what it says here in Deuteronomy 5:8. It says, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that in the earth beneath, or that is in the water, or in the earth. This is the second of the Ten Commandments. A carved image refers to anything, to any tangible object that represents an idol or a demonic figure. Not only is this a welcome mat for demonic activity, but God hates it. Though it may be out of ignorance, it is surprising to realize how many Christians have these items in their home. And do you know, let me tell you something. The devil does not care if you're ignorant or not. He's hoping and betting on it that you will be, so he can have an avenue in. All right? He doesn't like discerning Christians. He likes the dumb ones. All right? Don't be a dumb Christian, okay? We don't want to be dumb Christians, do we? Okay, these objects could include a Buddha, Hindu images, fertility gods. Now, these are just some of them. Goddesses, any type of god or goddess, Egyptian images, Greek gods, gargoyles. You know how many gargoyles you see around places? You know, there's one in our neighborhood. So when I walk around my neighborhood, I bind the spirits to that house. I say, you're not going to roam around, and you're not coming but near my house in the name of Jesus. Because that's my property. This is my neighborhood. You see? So if they want to have their little gargoyle, let them have it. But it's going to stay right there. Let them have it. Okay, I can't go and take it off their property. I can't go and take authority over that on their property, but I can take authority over it here from coming to mine and roaming around my neighborhood. Okay, that's my neighborhood. All right? I know one time we had Jehovah Witnesses going around our neighborhood, and they came to our house. So after they left our house, we prayed and we said, you'll not go to another house in this neighborhood. This is our neighborhood in the name of Jesus. And they got in their car and they left. You know, praise the Lord. You know, these are arenas that we can take authority in. Okay. Gargoyles, Kachina dolls, totem poles, Indian items, any native figure that depicts or glorifies a spirit, a demonic being, evil depictions of creatures. And these are evil depictions of these creatures, okay? Not that the creatures are bad, such as lions, dogs, cats, dragons. Dragons are a given, okay? That you shouldn't have to wonder if you could have a dragon, okay? I mean, read the Bible. The Bible, who does he symbolize? You know? Yeah. Okay. Any demonic distortion or any other image of a person, idol, god, or demonic figure which is considered an object of worship or spiritual power in any culture of the world. Many of these types of artifacts are collected as souvenirs and trips without understanding their significance. A commonly seen item in the United States that falls into this category are images of the Virgin Mary, who is often worshipped by many as equal to Jesus. Peter Wagner calls the worship of Mary a deceptive adaptation by the Queen of Heaven, a high-ranking demonic principality, to gain worship that should only belong to God. In fact, this counterfeit Mary is often referred to as the Queen of Heaven. I'm not suggesting that we discard all of our nativity scenes, but statues, paintings, and other images depicting Mary as the Queen of Heaven, especially when the image includes a royal crown, crescent moon, exalts her to a position of goddess with real spiritual power rather than just simply the blessed young woman she was. That's all she was. She was a normal human being who lived and walked for God and was used of the Lord, okay? But she is not to be worshipped. When we worship her, we can release, and we've done lots of deliverance with Catholics that have gotten heavily into the Mary thing, and you will always see a manifestation of that spiritual force coming off of them. And when we do deliverance, we do it real simple. We just command Virgin Mary's spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. You call it what it is, and it manifests. So if you call out a Virgin Mary spirit and it manifests, that right there ought to be your clue that it is a demon, right? You know? And that's served, worshipped in probably every country. And the more that you worship them, the stronger that power is released, okay? We prayed the other night for, and I don't know if I'm going to say this again, Lydia, Spanish for the spirit of death. What was that again? Santa Muerte? Santa Muerte, and that's the Virgin Mary for the Hispanic, the, you know, and you can find that in stores. And she has a skeleton face. That's kind of scary, isn't it? I mean, who would want that in their house? But people bring it in and worship that kind of stuff because of deception. Okay, false religions, objects are materials related to false religions. That could be books, Bibles, all sorts of stuff, because most false religions have their own Bible. It could be things like Mormonism, Islam, Jehovah's Witness, Hinduism, Eastern cults, Christian Science, Native religions, Baha'i, and it just goes on and on. It's Rosicrucian, yoga, books on yoga. Today we let yoga into our homes. We practice it. Do you know that every move and position in yoga is a form of worship to the sun god? One of these days I'll bring the pictures of them. I have pictures of them and what each one of those positions that you go into in yoga. And yet we do that and we think that's okay to practice as a believer. And it's not okay. Then we open up our families. And it's so important that you realize that it's not about you. It's about your generations. You see, because what you do affects your children and your children's children, and it continues to go on. That is why today the body of Christ is dealing with so much, because the church so set aside dealing with all this iniquity and all these things that come up, and we've never addressed it, so it's been even free in the church world to run and do what it wants to do. And over in the Old Testament, and I talked about this the first week that I taught this, that when people began to cleanse their house, they had a move of God. Every time Israel, the first thing God would tell them is they were not to take items, but they were also to destroy them. And when they did, it released God to move. When I used to teach at Christian Life, I used to always have the kids bring in all of their garbage, all of their, they'd bring in everything from demonic occult things to bad music. See, and these kids knew, and they were willing to get rid of them. And all sorts of horrible things that these young kids had opened themselves up to. We'd bring them in, and this is back when we could still burn them. So we'd burn them. And within just a few days, we'd have an outpouring of the Spirit of God in my classes. And kids would get healed. We'd have arms grow out, legs grow out. We had a little girl that had scoliosis, and her back straightened up. She grew 2.5 inches right there in our class. I mean, one amazing miracle after another when they bring in their stuff and get rid of it. Because what they were saying to the Lord was, God, we just want you, Jesus. And that releases God to work in our lives. Okay, another thing that can get in our house is occult objects. Anything related to the occult must be destroyed completely. When you're dealing with the occult, you're dealing with heavy-duty spirits. There's some heavy things. I do not mess with the occult unless God leads me to do it. And I do deal with a lot with the occult. But there are certain areas of the occult, unless God moves me out in those areas, I'm not even going to touch them. I've had to deal with some of them. I was talking to somebody today about the presence of fear when you're dealing with occult. When you deal with a spirit of fear that's backed up by the occult, that thing is more wicked and evil. You could not even begin. It's like if we deal with a little bit of fear and we rebuke it and we think, oh, I took authority over the spirit of fear. If you somehow have to deal with an occult spirit of fear, there is such a darkness and such a coldness and such a strong wickedness to that that I wouldn't even know how to describe it. I just know I've been in its presence more than once. And it's evil, but we have authority over it. You see, so if I don't go looking for stuff, but if it comes and gets in my way and I'm not looking for it, you can know I have authority over it, just like you would. You see, we don't go looking for demons, but when they want to come and manifest, we have authority to deal with whatever wants to manifest. Okay, occult objects. Anything related to the occult must be destroyed completely. These objects would include Ouija boards, good luck charms, amulets, astrology items including horoscopes, tarot cards, crystals, fetishes, water witching sticks, voodoo dolls, pagan symbols, dream catchers, crystal balls, any item used in rituals such as masks, even these African masks that people bring in from Africa and put them up on their walls, rain sticks, native drums, pyramids, obelisks, anything, any item obtained from the occult, our voodoo shops, black magic, fortune telling, palmistry, demon worship, spirit guides, witchcraft, Satanism, New Age, which would automatically group in Harry Potter, Twilight, a lot of these toys, a lot of these games that we let our kids have. You know, if they're witchcraft, they're witchcraft, just because they're toys. There are no toy demons, folks. They're for real. You see? So we need to be careful. We do not allow these things to come into our houses. Secret society objects, Freemasonry, secret societies like the Freemason, the Shriners, the Eastern Stars, Job's Daughters, Oddfellows, Elks, Demolays, Rainbow Girls, Daughters of the Nile, often require their members to take oaths and go through initiation results that are completely contrary to God's word, including pledging allegiance to various deities. Because that is the case, demons can easily attach themselves to items represented in these items, such as books, rings, aprons. If you have these things, especially Freemasonry, they need to be gotten out of your house. They need to be burned. They need to be done away with. And the curses and the demonic spirits that have come into your home and, horribly to say, your generations, needs to be broken, and those things have to be cast out. This is no small thing, Freemasonry. One of these days, I keep saying this, I've said this for a number of years, I might teach on it. It's horrible. I thought Freemasonry was just a bad religion. Oh, my goodness. Once I studied it, it is some of the highest level witchcraft. And probably is the highest that there is out there. But they hide. Anything occult, the word occult means hidden. See, so they want to keep things hidden so they can operate and do what they desire to do. And I can give you books to read on those if you want, anytime if you want to ask me about them. Okay, so books, rings, aprons, regalia, and any type of things that come down through family lines, especially in the areas of Freemasonry or any false religions. Other objects that our homes could be filled with that do not bring glory to God and may attract activity would include games such as Dungeons and Dragons, Masters of the Universe, and then a myriad of demonic videos, violent video games, books, magazines devoted to fantasy, comic books, posters, movies, or music with demonic, violent or sexual themes, pornography, illegal drugs, sensual art. And you might think, well, how does illegal drugs? Do you know there are spirits of alcohol and spirits behind the drugs? Same way. So if you bring them into your home, and I did tell you a story a little bit last week about heroin. But like I say, drive by a tavern or a bar or whatever, and it says food and spirits. Spirit. They know what it is, you know? So here we go back again. Should Christians drink alcohol? No. We should not be drinking alcohol. Okay? Why do we need it? Go get a good Coke or, you know, glass of orange juice or, you know, why would, seriously though, our wine, why do we need that when it has an ability to open up our generations or to open us up? Okay? Now, I'm not saying if you have a glass of wine, you've sinned and you're going to go to hell. Okay? But I'm saying, why would you want to open up a door to some of those things? All right? We need to be careful, especially in the day and hour that we live in. Okay, then there's things like I was just talking about with the pornography. And this is an interesting thing, and this is something we've dealt with before. But there could be something in your home from a past romantic relationship, maybe a gift, old love letters, hidden photos, one of both of you, and now you're both married to another person. A demonic stronghold of lust or inappropriate love could easily attach itself to that item, and destroying it will help you overcome the enemy's grip in that area of your life, and it will help you leave the past behind and move forward to what God has for you. We've ministered to a lot of people who are still tied to old lovers. And sometimes the only way that they get free is to destroy this stuff because it still holds them. And as they go home, see, sometimes you can cast a demon out of a person, but you don't get them fully free till they're willing to release items that they're holding of certain things. You see, you can hinder your own deliverance. See, when I go to cast a demon out, I know it is not optional that they leave. They have to leave. If the legal rights are broken and it's been repented of and renounced, it's not an option for a demonic spirit to stay unless you want it and you let it stay. So you can hinder deliverance, okay? Deliverance always works if the person is being workable, if the person is being repentant, if the person is saying, okay, now, and just like, you know what, if you don't agree with something I'm saying tonight, just do some study on it. I'd gladly give you some material or tell you where you could get them. I'm not going to give you my material because I probably wouldn't get it back. I lend out too much stuff and don't get it back. But you can do research, and then you can see these things. And, you know, it's interesting that there is nothing new under the sun. It's the same old, same old. That's why people can come in and tell us what they're going through, and we've probably already dealt with it 100 times with other people, so you pretty much know what's behind it. Okay, so what we're sharing with you are literally things that we've just studied and we've experienced through working with thousands of people. By now, we've walked thousands of people through deliverance to freedom, but you could study most of the deliverance books that are out there. Not all of them. There's some that aren't good, but you know, that will tell you the same thing. You see, because there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same devil, same bondages. Okay? All right, I want to share a couple other things with you. I've taken a bunch of notes out of actually a couple different books. One of my books that I do recommend reading, and I think he is one of the best out there, is, again, Peter Horben, Healing Through Deliverance. It's a real thick book. It's actually two combined. He's out of the United Kingdom, but he's one of the best writers that there is on deliverance, and he's balanced, okay? He's not going to get you off into weird stuff, right? Okay, a human being is only directly responsible for what goes on in his or her own life. For example, I cannot repent of sins that someone else has committed. I can only deal with my own sins. In a similar way, we do not have authority over someone else's land or buildings. Now, remember I told you we're going to go into this part on territory in this section today. So I'm going to read you a bunch of things. But I want you to know that there's, if it's your house and it's your property, then you have the legal right, okay? But if it's not, you can't necessarily go to your neighbors. And you can hedge off your property, though. I used to live next door to a Jehovah's Witness. So I just walked between me and him and took authority and said, the spirits over there were not going to come to my house. But I used to go mow his yard for him. And so I'd go over and I'd pray in the spirit in his yard and pray for him, okay? So when I helped him out, because he wanted me to, I was able to do that, okay? But I did endeavor to witness to them. And I think one time I went to pray for him, and she told me I couldn't pray for her because I went to visit her in the hospital. And this was interesting. She said she wouldn't let me pray for her because she was a Jehovah's Witness, she said. So she had scleroderma, which I don't know if you know what that is, but it's deadly. You die of it. And when she did die, and she did die, and I don't think she gave her life to the Lord either, because she refused me. Isn't that sad? Jesus came to visit her in the hospital, and she refused him. But he did go through me. And so when she died, her husband came over and told us, and he said that she struggled for 30-some hours fighting to not die. And I thought, yeah, I bet she did. As she was being pulled down into hell, I bet that woman was fighting and fighting to try to not have to die. You know? And people will tell you those stories near death, you know, and they don't know the Lord. That they see themselves struggling between going down, you know. And sometimes the only way they ever make it up is for a believer to step in there and stand that gap for them. Okay, I can only deal with my own sin. In a similar way, we do not have authority over someone else's land or building. We can only deal directly with places for which we are legally responsible. We can pray for someone else, and yes, we can pray about what goes on in someone else's building, but ultimately, it is the owner of the building, our building, who have to exercise spiritual authority over what is theirs. When dealing with lands and buildings, legal rights are very important. Who are the legal owners of the property? If the owners are not the direct users of the building, are they as concerned to see it set free as you are? That's why you need to be a little careful about, you know, I've told the story of Kenneth Hagin Sr. when he went to the Mormon tabernacle in Salt Lake City, and once they stepped on the ground, his little boy went into a seizure. You know, it was demons just attacked Kenneth Hagin Jr. It's in one of his books, okay? So what he did without being aware of it is he allowed his child to go in, and his child became vulnerable to the demonic forces that were there, okay? So there are places where we're not going to go into places that are set apart for false worship and think we're going to go in and change everything, okay? Because those things have been set aside. But they can't come into us if we exercise our authority. Because this is our ground. You understand what I'm saying? Let me finish reading this, because I got a lot of stuff I want to read to you tonight. If the owners are not the direct users of the building, are they concerned to see it as free as you are? If, for an example, you are only the tenant of a building, and the landlord is not participating with you in your desire to cleanse the building, you may only have the legal right to bind anything demonic so that it cannot exercise ungodly influence over you and what you do in the building. But if you are the legal owner of the property and you desire to cleanse it, then you have spiritual authority to do so because of your legal authority. In other words, if you are renting, and I'm talking about buildings, not houses, but I'll get into the houses later, but I think there is a boundary with some of that too. But you can hedge off what belongs to you, just like what I just read, okay? If you are renting, like maybe building for whatever, like you bring children in to use it or whatever, you can take authority over that section where you're at. But you're going to have to hold that and keep that ground. Because if it's owned by someone who releases things and allows something to come in, then you're going to sit yourself in a position to be in continual warfare. That's what you have to decide. Do you want to constantly be having to go someplace daily and bind and cast out and take authority over it? You see, pick and choose your battles sometimes. You see, we spend so much time doing this ministry that I'm very careful where I let myself get into, because I don't want to have to live somewhere or rent a building where I have to go daily to take authority over spiritual forces that someone else, because they own it or they're letting other people use it, that are allowing things in. You see what I'm saying? So can you hedge off your place? Yes, you can. But then you may need to go back and consistently, especially if other people are using the same place at night or whatever. Anyway, that's something personal here. But anyway, we're good friends. I didn't say it to her because I was like, anyway. But what I'm saying is that you choose what your battle is, because you can take authority over that. Like if you have a house and you're renting it, can you cleanse it, or an apartment? You can. But if you're like, especially if you're living, maybe somebody over you is dabbling in witchcraft, well, what would you do? Do you have authority over that? You do. But you're going to constantly be dealing with the witch. So you decide, you know, whether you want to stay there or not. Or you just exercise your authority all the time. Choose and pick your battles. Okay? All right? Now, if it's my house and I'm renting, I can get them out because it's my house. So not only can I get spiritual forces out, but I can also get those people out because it's my house. Okay, that's why you need to be discerning too, if you rent property, but to who you rent it to. Legal authority gives us the right to exercise spiritual authority. So a believer who understands the kingdom authority he has as a child of the king, which is higher authority than any authority exercised by Satan, can deal systematically with all of the holds that the enemy has over the place. Although the process is simple, the effect is profound and can be short of amazing. Many churches rent facilities on Sundays from a local authority or another organization. They have no say what that building is used for on other days of the week. And on, like, maybe a Saturday night, for example, that place may be used for ungodly activities. That does not stop them from being blessed by God on Sunday morning, but it also becomes very important and necessary to pray through that building every single time they use it. You see what I'm saying? So if this building here was used, which it isn't, but if it was, it was something we rented just on Sunday morning, but on Saturday night they would bring in a live band and do whatever they wanted to do, and then through the week they rented it out to maybe the Mormons to come in and do their thing, or maybe some Islamic people or whatever, you know. Then, Sunday morning, we better cleanse this house, okay? So every Sunday morning, we have to come in and clean house. You see what I'm saying? So we choose and pick our battles. That's what we do. So thank God we can own our own place. So we can, you know, or if you're going to rent, make sure that you're renting from someone who at least, it's one thing to deal with a sinner, and it's another thing to deal with occult or something that's got strong spiritual forces behind it. Okay? Okay, I think I'm going to go into this last. And this is some stuff on steps you can take to cleansing. But these are some things on territorial rights and violations. We act without thinking or praying. Frequently, we get into trouble as a result. We can wander into areas where we have no legal right to be. These careless actions will sometimes bring curses on our lives. Now, this part that I'm sharing with you now, remember I told you the story when I was going to go pray for someone's house, and when I got ready to pray for the person's house, I found out their house was in the midst of a coven. the whole subdivision was owned by people, or just about the whole subdivision, was owned by people who were into witchcraft. It was a witchcraft coven, okay, satanic coven on the other side of Rockford. So I was asked to go, and I kept getting a check in my spirit about going, and didn't feel like I should go, but I was going to go anyway. Okay, now the reason I was going to go anyway, because I was dumb. This is the best way to put it, because I wasn't as mature in this as I am now, didn't know what I know now, and I have always been a person that I just want to help everybody, you know, and we got to be careful about that. You should help people, but there's places where if God isn't sending you to go and it's dealing with some of this witchcraft stuff, it may not be where you should go. You may not be equipped at this time in your life to go there, okay? Now, God might send me now, but this is a number of years later and a whole lot of more maturity and a lot more growth and a lot more knowledge in what I deal with. Back then, I didn't. But so I was going to go, and I had somebody come up to, actually, Evelyn, I think, gave you a book, and this is some of the material I took out of the book, that said, give this to Bev Tucker. And in this book, this woman who had dealt for years with witchcraft, one of the sections was what I'm going to read you about, the fact that there are certain areas that if we're not called to those areas and that they're infested with spiritualism or the occult, that unless God calls you to do that, you shouldn't do that. And then I had another Christian come up and say, Bev, I don't really feel like in my spirit you should go. So with my own feeling I shouldn't go, and then these other two witnesses, that was enough. The reason I made the decision to not go, because what I told you earlier, it's not just about me. What I do affects my whole family. If I open a door up to the enemy, especially in the arenas of witchcraft, I can open my children up and my grandchildren, okay? That's where the main reason I really endeavor to be careful that I'm hearing from the Lord where I go and what I do, okay? I am afraid of no demon. I mean, I deal with them all the time. I get people free all the time. We are dealing right now with some major witchcraft stuff, and we're not fearful of it, but we know God has sent us there. That's the big difference, okay? Okay, God's direction then for you is essential. The scripture warns us against coming in contact with Satan's territory. God's word also admonishes us against going into the battle with Satan without specific orders from God. And let me just read this scripture here to you. And this is out of Numbers 14, 39 through 45. Now, they were commissioned to go, but then they didn't. They backed out, non-belief, so God said, do not go. They made a choice to shift out of faith into doubt, non-belief, and so God said, you don't go there because you're not walking by faith, and you're going to be wide open to their enemy. So let me read you the story out of Numbers 14, when God sent out the spies, okay? He said, Moses told these words to the children of Israel and the people greatly, and they rose early in the morning and went up to the mountain saying, Here we are, and we will go to the place which the Lord has promised us, for we have sinned. See, they've already come and not gone to the promise, or they've not gone in to take out the giants. Remember, they said they were as grasshoppers. They didn't see themselves for who they were in God. They saw themselves only as little grasshoppers. So then the Lord said, don't go back in. But then they decided once they missed it, they were going to go in. And it says, we will go to the place which the Lord promised, for we have sinned. They realized they'd messed up by walking in doubt and unbelief. And Moses said, now, why are you transgressing the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not with you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord, and he will not be with you. But they presumed to go to the mountain nevertheless. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. And then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormath. Most assuredly, so what they did then is they violated the direction of the Lord, okay? So he did tell them to go in the beginning, but being they shrunk in unbelief, then God said, okay, then don't go in there, okay? So sometimes we have to make a choice, and faith is nothing but a choice. We choose to believe or not. Because even though it feels like your mind is going crazy and all hell is breaking loose against you and all this doubt and unbelief, you can still choose to say, okay, God, your word says this, and so this is where I'm going to go, and I'm going to stand on that. And you can do that. It's a choice. Just because you are battling doesn't mean you're in doubt. But we battle when we hear voices telling us and of doubt and unbelief, and then we choose to believe that, oh, I must not have enough faith to do this, and we get into fear and we shrink back. Rather than taking the word of God and declaring, even though, you know, I always say this, Joyce Meyer says, if you're afraid, then do it afraid. But do it. You see, move out in faith. Well, they didn't do that. Then they decided when they got in trouble, oh, I guess we'll do this. And they moved then, and God said, don't go. And they went anyway and were destroyed. Jesus said in John 5:19, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus only did what the Father commanded him to do, and we are no different. We do not have the authority to fight any battles that our Lord does not command us to fight. We cannot safely walk into Satan's territory unless the Lord has commanded us to do so. Now, the reason I'm telling you this, and I want you to get this, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to help you be smart. I'm trying to help you so that you learn to discern where God is sending you and what is your territory, what is your calling, okay? Now, if I ever decided to get up here on Sunday morning and take over Pastor Kevin's position, I don't think I would succeed. I'm not called to be in that position, okay? But I am called to be in the position that I am. So that's where I flow, that's where I function, all right? I've had people ask me before, will you come and pastor our church? Will you be the pastor? And you don't want to know what I say? No. Absolutely not. That's not where my calling is. So I could go do that, but I'll flop. All right? We want to do where God leads us. I would much rather be functioning in my giftings under a pastor that has the authority. Now, he's the one that's operating in the apostolic authority in this region. Now, I operate in apostolic authority underneath his apostolic authority, and then it functions and it works. See what I'm saying? So that's what we want to be doing, what God is calling us to do. Now, your houses, your family, oh my goodness, you have authority. They are yours. That's why some of you need to seriously get upset with the devil and tell him to get out of your house. You need to draw that bloodline and let him know, these are my children, this is my house, my wife, my husband, and you are getting out in the name of Jesus. And start taking authority over that. You need to be militant in your own homes. And whether you see anything change right away or not, that's all beside the point. If the devil challenges you over your ground, then you go in and you challenge him with the word of the living God. You say, but it is written. And start declaring what's written, the word of God. Okay, scripture is very clear in commanding us not to touch anything unclean, any area Satan can legally claim, as well as anything associated with demon spirits is unclean. We need to be very careful where we go and what we participate in. Have you visited any place with the occult? Have you toured like shrines or temples dedicated to demon gods without first asking the Lord if it is his will for you to go there? Here's a little story that she wrote about a spiritualist camp that they went to. And by the way, we have a spiritualist camp in Cherry Valley. Huh? Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, there's some heavy stuff. They do, it's a camp, yeah, it's tons of stuff on a yearly basis over there. So we have 6 different places that there's covens in the Rockford area. How do we tear them down? Let's get strong ourselves. Let's get free here. You see, how do we take out the enemy when we're weakened with all these doors opened in our own lives? You see, how do we take on an enemy when we embrace his occult items through games, our videos, our movies, our books, our false religions, and then we move in and we try to take him out and we, you know, embrace him. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's not extremely smart, but he's not extremely dumb either. He's very sly. He's very deceptive. Okay, talking about a spiritual camp, she was sharing about this spiritual camp. She said there was a museum that was dedicated to witchcraft and spiritualism, a spiritualist church, and an old, well-kept graveyard. And I'm going to read this about graveyards because I want you to hear about graveyards. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with graveyards. Graveyards are normally used quite consistently by witches to go out and do ceremonies and such in all sorts. And a lot of young people get involved in that, playing around on graves and stuff like that in the middle of the night and having things manifest to them. I've ministered to tons of young people who have gone out. And most of what I've learned about that is what they've come back with, all these little demonic friends they pick up out there that scares them half to death because they went out with somebody or got involved in this type of stuff. One of the interesting things about the graveyard is the white wrought iron furniture that was on the graves here. This is at this spiritualist camp. The round French provincial tables had matching chairs on either side of the table. The chairs had no seats because the people who came to the graveyard would levitate over a chair on one side of the table while the spirit of the person in the grave supposedly would rise up and levitate over the other chair as they communed. Now, the Bible says when a person dies, it's assigned to that person once to die and then the judgment. So I talked to you about that last week. They're called dead man spirits, but they're not the spirit of that person. They're familiar spirits or ungodly spirits that normally were attached to those people. I just got done ministering to a young girl this last week. And when I say ministering to her, I talk to her. She levitates all the time. She is very tormented. She wants to marry this one spirit that comes and visits her. And I said, honey, if you think you're in hell now, go ahead and marry this thing, and you'll find out what torment is, you know? So I told her not to. Is she going to listen to me? I don't think so. I really don't think so. At one point, I was ministering to her, and I said to her, I said, honey, you're going to have to quit doing these things, because if you don't, you're giving them legal right, and I'm not going to be able to cast them out because you're letting them be there. She said, well, I guess I don't want you to pray for me then. That's sad. You know, so I've been praying for her. Okay, but anyway, this is what she does, and this is huge in this area also, levitation. I'm meeting people all the time that are doing that. That's some serious stuff. Where do they learn how to do that? Where are they getting the information? Much of what we're dealing with and have has come out of like Harry Potter books. Pulled up an article on Twilight. And they said in this article, it says that Harry Potter is made to look like something little compared to the evil that's behind the Twilight. You see, and how many of our young people go to that? How many people? There's kids from here, adults, you know? Okay, the place here then is Satan's ground. The entire property belongs to him legally and totally. All the people living within these walls were deeply involved in the occult. The camp is like a magnet that draws the curious and the ignorant, recruiting many directly into the service of Satan. The demon spirits reigning within that camp are incredibly powerful. These spirits are jealous of their land and seriously guard it. Any person walking on their property who is not involved in the occult and does not give allegiance to these demons can come under direct attack, and curses of destruction are placed on his life. Of course, this is especially true for Christians. Demons hate Christians and consider it a direct insult when a Christian trespasses on their property. Because these demon spirits own the area, they have the legal right to place curses of destruction on the lives of anyone who trespass under their property. Okay, just like I gave you the example of Kenneth Hagin and we all know Kenneth Hagin. Right? And here everybody's probably heard of Kenneth Hagin. He's a great man of God. But when he took his son on the Mormon grounds, that's what happened. to him, okay? When we moved onto the property that we lived on, that had Rosa Carucian, you know, and that place, you know, whether it was dedicated or not, I don't know. I do know the people who endeavored, that lived on that property prior to us, were people who were wanting to bring that religion into that little town. So we moved in, not being, knowing anything about the demonic or the spiritual world, really. And so we ended up dealing with all those spiritual forces, and we couldn't even figure out what was happening to us and why we were dealing with the things, because spirits are invisible, aren't they? So we need to be discerning by the Holy Spirit. You know, that is why it's vitally important you study the Word of God, you deal and walk in deliverance yourself, and get free, and get filled with the Holy Spirit, and use your prayer language, speaking in other tongues, because the more you pray in the Spirit, the more, it's like the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues is like the doorway to all the other gifts. And so the more we pray in the Holy Spirit, dearly beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. If I pray in the Holy Spirit, I will build up my ability to discern, okay? The ability to see in the spirit realm, or to know what's going on in the spirit realm. You know, that's why I say most of you could come and tell us a couple things about yourself, or we could just discern it by the Spirit also. But because we're familiar with dealing with these things, and we've sharpened these gifts on the inside of us from the use of these gifts. Okay, let me keep going here. I'm almost done. I wanted to try to finish this. Unauthorized engagement of the enemy. We cannot fight any battle that our commander-in-chief has not commanded us to fight. We've had Christians tell us that they can go anywhere and do anything they choose to do it in safety because they are under the covering of the blood of Jesus. We do not agree with this. As Christians, we can only safely go or do anything that our Lord has authorized us to do, but we cannot go wherever or whatever we choose of our own will with complete safety. Unless our Lord has specifically instructed us to do so, we cannot venture into Satan's territory or engage the enemy in battle and expect to be protected from all harm. One of the main reasons for that also is a lack of our understanding. We don't know some of the tactics and the schemes that the enemy has. I know in the years that we've done deliverance, we have been shocked at some of the things we've seen. I mean, we did not even know some of this stuff operated and happened out there. And we've not even known about it until we've ministered to people who have come to us who have been involved in it. And they want to get out of it, you see? So there's a lot of things that if we're not knowledgeable right there, that's a weapon then that the enemy has that he can use against you. Okay? Let me see here what I wanted to read. Is it possible for Christians to go into a pagan temple and pull down the gods of that temple through prayer? No, it is not. Why? Because as long as the temple remains standing, the gods have the legal right to rule there. There are numerous scriptures where God gives specific instructions of the children of Israel on how to handle pagan gods and their temples. Always they were commanded to destroy the temple and the idols. With Gideon, we see that Gideon was a man of God, used to defeat an army many times the size of his battle, which was his little band, or the size of his little band of 300 men. But first, before Gideon went out, God said to cleanse his own domain, didn't he? So God had him go in and begin to tear down the dominion of the false gods that his family had served all these years. You see, then he went out and took the battle. So this goes back to what I said earlier. A lot of times we need to cleanse and get rid of things that we are dealing with when in our own lives. And then we can deal with other areas. You know, God has not called you to just come and sit. Right. You're to be actively involved in setting other people free. I mean, it is massive, the bondage that's out there. It's absolutely massive. And people, just this little group here, we make a dent. You see, but when the body of Christ rises up and dares to challenge and work with people to help them take back ground that they've lost, and the body gets free, when the body of Christ gets free, the body of Christ will become strong, because all of this stuff is only sent to weaken us, to get us where we're looking at everything else but focusing on Jesus Christ. And you wonder, I've said earlier in the class, why we don't see more miracles, we don't see more healings, we don't see more of a move of God. Who do we serve in the body of Christ? You see? And if one can set 1,000, two can set 10,000 to flight. Imagine the momentum of the body together removing darkness. So if we're wanting to take on some of these bigger things, then we need to realize that it's us coming together, us cleansing all of our garbage out together, not just the deliverance team, but all of us, so that we together as a body can be strong. And then we're a huge force. See, when the body repositions herself, it doesn't make a difference whether Freemasonry has reigned in this nation or not. When the body positions herself, what a force to be reckoned with. Jesus said he had put, Psalm 110, the scepter of your righteousness, the scepter of your authority in Zion. And then we're commanded to rule in the midst of our enemies. Why aren't we ruling in the midst of our enemies? It's because we've embraced so many of our enemies. We're babysitting them. So we need to cleanse this out of our lives, start dealing with the things. You know what? You should be in deliverance class every week. Why? To learn what you got that you want to get rid of. That's where you're going to get knowledge of what the demonic is. When I've told you before, when we got delivered, I had a spirit of rejection on me. I didn't know rejection was a spirit. I just thought it was my personality, the way I was, until that thing was cast out of me because of the way I was raised, because of the generational spirits of rejection, because of all that we went through growing up. All that rejection was there. And here God calls me to stand in front of people. Can you imagine? You talk about what I said about the enemy trying to plan your destiny, okay? So does the devil, do you think, recognize callings? I think he does. So heap me up with all this rejection. So it's very difficult. Some of you are called to certain things and you're scared to death to do it, because you're afraid of what people are going to think of you. That's fear of man. That's a spiritual force that sits as a sibling to a spirit of rejection. And see, when we begin to hear teaching to help us pinpoint certain things in our lives, then we realize these are forces that the enemy has sent against me that I can be free of. And then when the body starts getting free, then it's look out. Then it's a piece of cake to take our nation back. Because we can speak forth, we can decree, and we can declare a thing. Hearing God, and you know, once you get free, it's a whole lot easier to hear God when you don't have all these clinkers of rejection and self-doubt and unbelief in you, and you cast them out, you get free, and the flow of the Holy Spirit is easy. My goodness, we minister to people, and we've got word of knowledge going forth. We've got gifts of healing. I mean, sometimes we stand back and people say, well, how did you know all that? Well, just the Holy Ghost. And it's awesome. It is so fun to get to pray with people and help them. And you know that song we sing at the very beginning, you know, no more bondage, no more chains. I am free. Oh, I love that. And not because I'm free. I love getting other people free. That is fun. Watching them experience freedom in Christ. That's what we're called to do. That is why it is your responsibility as believers to start dealing with your stuff, get it out of your house, get it out of your lives, start breaking the foundation the devil has tried to put into your bloodline. See, it only takes one. Just one of you. And if you'll start breaking the generational things and what's gotten in, you will so weaken the enemy that it'll take him a whole long time to get right back in there. And but you're called to maintain what you get. You see, just like I said, when that Washington Monument cracked, they are having a very hard time fixing that thing. Hallelujah. They can't get it fixed. You know? Isn't that awesome? Well, imagine something like that where you are shaking the foundation. You've caused an earthquake in your house. And you are shaking the foundation of the devil that's been in there for generations and generations. And when we start doing that, we weaken the works of darkness. He no longer has a place within us. Jesus said, the evil one comes, but he has nothing in me. As he is, so are we to be in this world. How many of us can say, now the enemy's hanging around, but he can't find an open door in me at all? You see? Start getting delivered and those doors get shut, and they get shut, and they get shut, and they get shut. See, that's why deliverance is so freeing. But again, you get free and then you begin to maintain. And once you start maintaining and getting yourself free, God will begin to bring people to you. We got into this ministry because of that house we lived in. And all hell broke loose against us. And we had to go out and help somebody help us find out how to get free. But we could not find it from a pastor. Isn't that a sad thing? We had to go to some guy down in Tennessee that had knew how to do deliverance. But then God began to bring people and bring people and bring people and bring people. And we didn't even know what we were doing. But the Word of God, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, is all you need. You just learn how to do it. And it's not hard, because who are you? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we can flow and we can operate in these gifts when we clean our own lives up and clean our homes up. There's a whole lot more here, but I think I gave you enough information here that you I'm sure you got it. The biggest thing we need to do, though, if the steps are so easy to walk through to get this stuff out of your homes, all you need to do is you need to, number one, begin to pray and remove items out of your house. Get things out that don't belong there. Okay? You need to repent and break legal rights of the enemy. Okay? Repenting, just like you do, it's just like dealing with yourself. You have to repent. You need to remove the items in your house. And even if you've not been responsible for what's in the house, say you move into your house and there's things happening in your house, like you see things or shadows or cold spots or odors. We talked about that the first week. How do you deal with that if that's where you live and you maybe made a mistake and bought that house and now you've got a big mortgage to pay on it, you know, or you rent from that? How are you going to deal with it? You can repent for what was done in that house that opened the doors. You get the blood of Jesus on it. And then you start walking through that house and you start casting out of the house. Okay? Now, I told you we did have a family that we were working with, and we're still working with them, that have had to walk their property more than one time because they have found out it was like Indian burial ground. Okay? By the way, too, where there's these are statistics. By graveyards and cemeteries, especially Indian burial grounds, a lot of the things that people deal with is mental issues, confusion, and suicide. And those are statistics that follow through. So they go over and over and over, those kind of things. But we have authority in Christ Jesus over those things. And we may, like I say, we can go in and we can begin to take back the land. Or, you know, God might tell you to move, too. I don't know. He might tell you that. We moved, didn't we? We were scared. Actually, we were too, because we were babies in the Lord. And our house totally burned to the ground. And then we sold it. We sold it to somebody, but which is probably bad. But we sold our demons. Isn't that sound terrible? We were just glad. We were glad to get rid of it. But we were new Christians and we had all that bad stuff happen, and after we bought the house, 3 months later it burned, and we were glad. that it burned. We lost everything we had, and we were happy. That sounds awful, but that's the hell that demons make you live in. We were scared of that house. That's where we experience, when I tell you that occult fear is way beyond just regular fear. It's horrible. And so when after it burned, we got our insurance, but we didn't rebuild on that land. We got off that land. We sold it. We sold it cheap. Now I might do something different, you know. But back then, we didn't know what we know now. I'd probably really been, excuse the way I'm going to say this, but really ticked off. And I'd have said, devil, you are getting off my land in the name of Jesus. But back then I couldn't say it because I didn't know what I know today. Didn't know my authority. Didn't understand spiritual forces. You see, but once you do, oh my goodness, you've been fully equipped. So the only good thing that ever came out of that house, I guess, is this ministry. But it did come out of that house, didn't it? Yeah. So what did we do? We got to wipe the floor up with the devil. And we've seen thousands of people set free. We've seen land set free. We've seen houses set free. We've seen dogs and cats set free. I'm just being smart now, but it's true. Anyway, hallelujah. Authority, behold. Take a look at this, guys. I've given you all authority over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I love hearing stories from my deliverance team, because we've had Freemason get its little behind out. I said that nice. Seriously, all sorts of things, you know? It don't make a difference. Cancer, it will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. But you know what? It'll wait for you to enforce that. It'll wait for you to challenge it. It'll wait for you to know who you are. Alcohol and drugs, they'll wait on you to say, you are out of my house, and I'm not putting up with you anymore. And I'm going to say one thing to women. If you got a husband that won't do what he needs to do, then you do it. Because in Jesus Christ, there's not male nor female. And you are operating in the authority of Jesus Christ. And don't let the devil take your kids because your husband won't do what he needs to do. Start walking around your house and start commanding the devil out of your husband. All right, if you're a guy and you need to do that to your wife, go for that too. But take your families back. Don't let the enemy. You enforce the victory of Calvary. You, all you really are doing is enforcing the literal disarming, the literal triumphing of the cross over every work of darkness. And says that he's waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Simply meaning this, the scepter's in our hand. That's where it's at. The scepter's in our, where's the authority of God today? Is it sitting up in heaven, or is it here where we need it? He said, behold, I give you. At least the authority that was put on the earth is here for us. God's decision to rule and have authority through mankind was so final and so eternal that when man lost it, God had to become a man to get it back for us. And then what did he do? He turned right back and put it back in the hands of his church, didn't he? So here's where it sits. The scepter is in our hands. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you. Oh, I speak right now to any spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, I bind fear and I command fear to go right now in the name of Jesus. I even command any anxiety, panic, worry, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and release that in Jesus' name. All that worry, all that fear, worry about tomorrow, all that anxiousness, worry for your children, worry about finances, I cast you out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expel in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I command fear. Expel in Jesus' name. I speak to occult fear. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. I speak specifically to fear where people are dealing with fear because of spirits that have been in their house. I cast you out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expel. Come out. If you got anything, come up here too. In the name of Jesus. I speak to spirits of doubt and unbelief. And I command them to come out right now in the name of Jesus. I come against complacency in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break a cycle. There's people in here, you are literally like, you have a cycle where you get going for God. And some of you even get going in deliverance. And then all of a sudden you stop and you recircle and you go back into the same patterns and the same mess. I break that vicious cycle off of you right now in the name of Jesus. I come against a spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. And I command rejection, fear of people, fear of what people think. I cast that out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command insecurity to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command all that apprehension, expel in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That feeling of just being uncomfortable wherever you go, come out in the name of Jesus. All that perfectionism, all that performance, come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that self-hate, all that self-bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. I invoke the name of Jesus against every spirit of darkness, against every spirit of sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. I break every design of hell off your life in Jesus' name. I command the plans and the schemes of the enemy broken, and I command them exposed in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. And I declare the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ over your life. I declare that his destiny is healing and it's freedom in Jesus' name. And I speak to every spirit of sickness and disease, no matter where it's touching in your house, you go home and you cast it out in the name of Jesus. Now I speak to every spirit of death and I say, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of infirmity, come out in the name of Jesus. All that weakness, I command bodily weakness to come out right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break the authority of pain off your life. I come against pain in the lower back, and I command that spirit of infirmity to come out. All that pain, come out. All that aching, I speak to arthritis, and I command arthritic pain to go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expel in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus, I command all that grief to come out, all that internalizing of grief, grieving over your children, grieving over financial struggles, all the grieving on the inside, internalizing that. I command that. I command the aches that creates in your body. I command high blood pressure from it to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command anxiety disorders to come out in the name of Jesus. Restlessness at night, difficulty sleeping. I command all that out, all from the internalizing of that anxiety in the name of Jesus. Even fearful imaginations and fantasies and always battling things you visualize in your mind of things happening to your children or your husband or even in your own life. I command all that out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name.
I speak to a spirit of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. And I'm not talking about like a coven, but I'm talking about literal things where doors have been opened or there's been things sent against you. And in the name of Jesus, I cut cords of curses off of you. I cut off cords of ancestral spirits in the name of Jesus. I come against generational spiritual forces. And we cut the cords in the spirit realm in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I come against ungodly belief systems, transference of spirits, where things have been transferred through things, maybe places you've been or things you've done or movie theaters you've gone to. I command right now, repent, and I speak to those things as you're repenting for doors you've opened, and I command right now every one of those dark spirits to go in the name of Jesus. I command you, release and let go. I speak to a spirit of depression, and I command depression, come out. All that heaviness, all that gloom, come out. All that discouragement, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Depression, come out. Discouragement, come out. All that morbidity, feeling like your life is worthless, feeling like you just as soon be dead. I command those voices that speak to you, come out. All the voices, all those tormenting voices, all those voices of doubt and unbelief, all that self-questioning, come out in the name of Jesus.
I go against that preoccupation, that abnormal preoccupation with spirits and witchcraft and with things, the spiritual things that we shouldn't have part of. I call that out of you now. All that, just fascination with the occult and with things of the occult and with things that are not of God, but you have, even with these movies that they have on now in October especially, scary movies and horror movies, and you have that just a fascination, drawn to that. I break that now in Jesus' name. Come against that. I tell you, come out in Jesus' name.
And that late breath, release it.
And that lazy spirit, you're just kind of lethargic and just passive about everything. I call that out of you too. I say you come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, just release that. Release that. I go back to that fascination with the occult and with scary movies and horror movies. I feel that so strongly, that somebody's just drawn to that, and you know you shouldn't do that, and yet you're drawn to that, and you keep playing these things. And I come against all that fear that's come into you from that in Jesus' name.
And every lie, deception in the name of Jesus. I just command a spirit of a lying spirit, a spirit of deception, a deceiving spirit. I command that to go in the name of Jesus. I speak to a spirit of alcohol in the name of Jesus, and I break it off your life. And even that reasoning spirit where there's things that reason with you that it's okay to consume alcohol, and you are consuming it to a point where it's causing problems in your family, in your home. You're having to hide what you do. I break the spirit of alcoholism, that generational spirit, in the name of Jesus. I command spirits of shame, come out. Come out. All the shame, all that false guilt, expel. False responsibility, I just command that to lift up off your shoulders, off your back, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, I command seducing spirits to come out in Jesus' name. Seducing into sin, I command that out in the name of Jesus. All those reasonings that try to support bad behavior and wrong mindsets, I command that out in the name of Jesus. Those ungodly belief systems, I command that out. Even religious ungodly belief systems that have locked you in bondage, I command all that bondage and slavery to come out, that come on even through religious means, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name.
And I come against a spirit of stubbornness in the name of Jesus. I command an obstinate, stubborn spirit to expel. I command that spirit that's telling you right now there's nothing to anything that's been even said, especially what we're calling out. And I command right now that obstinate, stubborn spirit, that lie, I command that veil to be removed in the name of Jesus. I command those blinders to go right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name, every blinder be removed in the name of Jesus. Come out, every perverse spirit, those stubborn, obstinate spirits, expel In the name of Jesus, that spirit of perverseness that goes contrary to the righteousness of God, that does its own thing instead of what God says, you perverse spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I declare the covenant of God. I declare that I believe and my whole house shall be saved. I declare that covenant right now over every person in this room, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't have a believing family member. So I'm going to establish that covenant, even though you're resisting us right now, right? There are people that are resisting this. In the name of Jesus, because of the covenant of God that gives your family members rights, we command right now the blinders to be removed. Whether you want them removed or not, they are coming down in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every spirit that endeavors to tread upon the boundary lines of the covenant. And we say, you are coming out. We command lies to be destroyed. We command deceptions to be revealed in the name of Jesus. And I command a spirit of pride. I say, you will come down and you will go. You will loose right now covenant family members in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say that stubbornness and rebellion will not be in our houses. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cast you out. We cast you out. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I speak, God, your blessing over your people tonight. Father, I pray, God, specifically healing. God, right now, there's people who are, you just got some pressure in your head right now. And that pressure is from the demonic spirits that have been told to go. Don't worry about them. Take a deep breath and tell them to go. And they'll leave in the name of Jesus. I break the bands off of your head right now in Jesus' name. Now, God, I speak wholeness. I speak healing, and I speak the blessings of God into your people. Father, I declare that we are empowered to prosper in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare that empowering, God. We declare that there is coming a loosing in the body of Christ, Father. We declare we're going to take back what belongs to the body, to our families, our finances, God, every area, God, in the name of Jesus. You said everywhere we would set our foot, we could possess that land. So Father, we're marching. We're taking back our families. We're taking back our churches, we're taking back our nation in the name of Jesus. And Father, I declare, God, your blessings on your people. Lord, I ask, God, for every person here, God, that you would just reveal to them what they need to know, God, concerning all of this, Father. I pray for those that have been standing for family members, Lord, and I pray, God, snatch them. Snatch them right now, even out of the pit of hell. I declare that every wile, every scheme, and every tactic of the enemy be exposed right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I call every family member out of darkness. I speak to them. I say, come out of the darkness and come to the light in the name of Jesus. Come out of the darkness and come to the light in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for your revelation that gives us understanding of all that you've given us, Father. And I declare, God, a revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus, to rise up and walk, God, taking that scepter that you have put in Zion. And Father, I declare that your people will rise up and they will make your enemies your footstool. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And I have one more word, and that's, there some of you that are dealing with sickness and disease and infirmity in your house, make it the footstool of Jesus, because you have authority to do it. Amen. Hallelujah.